When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there, this is Martina Navratilova.
Hi, I'm Mats Wilander.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. It is day three of the French Open at Roland Garros in Paris. I'm not there. I'm David Law. Let me tell you exactly where I am. I'm in Portugal at the moment. I've been attending a wedding. I've got an alarm call in about 5 hours to go to the airport. It is nearly midnight here. I'm in pitch darkness, sitting between two swimming pools at the moment, on a little table, listening to some of the worst band music I've ever heard in my life. But do I care? No, I don't, because I've got a tennis podcast to record with Catherine Whittaker, who is in Paris. Catherine, we nearly didn't do this. About half an hour ago, I said, we're not doing one tonight. And you kicked off. And you said, no, we've got to do one tonight.
I did.
You've got lots to talk about.
You jumped the gun and put out the tweet, David. We were still negotiating about whether or not it would be possible. I was desperately thrashing around Roland Garros trying to find a live special guest. Couldn't find one. Tried to enlist the services of my backup option, David Law, and you were indisposed next to a swimming pool, but now have made yourself available. So, excellent. Here we go.
Who needs sleep anyway? Let's just crack on. So, it is day three, isn't it? It is Wednesday yesterday. So, no, day four. Day four of the French Open, isn't it? Crikey, I don't even remember what day it is.
Yeah, it's the odd thing with them starting on a Sunday. It is all too easy to lose track.
You all understand, tennis podcast listeners. That's absolutely fine. Loads has happened today. Once again, I don't even know where to start. Do you know where I'm going to start, Catherine? I'm going to start by asking you about Steve Johnson, because I've been watching a couple of the little video clips of him. He lost his dad a few weeks ago, who is only 58 years of age. Somebody who was a great inspiration to him, it seemed. Somebody who was his mentor, his coach. And he was obviously devastated. And here he was fighting in tooth and nail against Borna Coric, who himself played a great part and smashed his racket at the end. But it was really, really emotional stuff watching Steve Johnson of the United States, and hats off to him, eh?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I know I'm a pathetically sentimental, emotional person at times, but I welled up watching that. It was deeply emotional and sort of tragic and beautiful at the same time. It was just such raw emotion, and I know you see a lot of that on the sporting field, but it's rarely as raw as that. You know, so recently, said only a couple of weeks ago that, you know, winning matches is irrelevant to him now, except for the fact that he feels he's doing it for his dad. He almost gave up tennis. It was actually a story I heard Annabelle Croft tell on Eurosport coverage earlier in the studio, that he very, very nearly gave up tennis. He was such a fantastic college player, tried to turn pro, found it incredibly difficult. He remembers calling his dad and saying, look, I just can't do this. You know, I was a superstar in college tennis, and now I'm nothing. I'm just not talented enough. I really want to give it up. I'm not enjoying it. And his dad urged him to carry on, and he's had, so far he's still going, he's got a way to go, but he's had a very, very good, respectable career and really maximized his potential, and that's something to be really proud of. And the contrast with what he was experiencing at one end of the court to the sort of other or a different end of the spectrum of raw emotion that Čorić was experiencing with his quite epic racket smashing, which I think was sort of understandable in the moment, but I was a bit disappointed that even when he sort of saw up the other end of the court what Steve Johnson, who had collapsed onto the clay, was experiencing, Čorić sort of continued with his racket smashing in a pretty petulous, childish kind of way. I know he's young, but I think on reflection, if he ever sees that video, maybe he already has, maybe he never will, I don't know, but I think he might feel quite uncomfortable with how it looked from the outside, with him reacting that petulantly and being so deeply in his own world when there was something a lot more significant happening at the other end of the court. But look, they're in the moment. I get it. It was an incredibly disappointing loss for Borna Čorić. I get it. I don't want to come down too hard on him. I just think it wasn't a great look, and he'd probably agree if he saw it himself.
Yeah, I dare say you're right. And he actually spoke pretty well in the press conference afterwards and paid tribute to Johnson and everything he'd come through in order to get that win. And yeah, I think you're right. It was red mist. It was just couldn't accept it in the moment. And he always seems a pretty decent lad to me. So I'm fairly sure he will end up feeling as you describe. Elsewhere on the men, we'll just go through the men's side. I don't even know what order I'm going in here. There's so much to talk about. Joe Wilfried Tsonga came out for basically one game, Catherine, because he was playing this Argentine chap, Olivo, is it?
Renzo Olivo. First time I've seen him play. Renzo Olivo.
My goodness,
lovely
what a
chap.
Good player. What a good player.
Fantastic player. Where's he been? He's 25. Where has he been? He's so fantastically talented. And I'm pleased for him. I think it's great. I think he more than deserved the victory. However, I was disappointed that the resumption only lasted for one match. I really thought Tsonga would at least be able to hold serve and make something of it and give the crowd a bit of a treat, even if it didn't go into five. I was disappointed from that perspective. But a little like with the resumption of the Zverev-Verdasco match yesterday, it really didn't go the way I thought. I thought Tsonga, the more experienced player on that kind of stage and in that kind of situation, would be the one to benefit from the overnight hangover, but absolutely not. Renzo Olivo, cracking performance, lovely chap, now gets to play Kyle Edmund and face another fearsome forehand in round two.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen now, don't you? Because he's had his big win on the big stage. Now he's going to have the dip, and Kyle Edmund's going to mop up, isn't he, and go through.
It feels awful because I interviewed Renzo Olivo earlier and I wished him the best of luck and I really thought he was great and I really meant it when I said congratulations. But yeah, I do think he's probably going to lose to Kyle Edmund in the next round. Yeah.
Not to worry, eh? It's just the way it goes. Couple of good wins today. Well, Rafael Nadal was dominant. Oh. It was yesterday he played, wasn't it?
Dominant.
I can't remember whether it was today or yesterday. Yeah, he was fantastic. Djokovic
Can I just insert a comment about how fantastic Rafael Nadal was today? Robin Haase, his opponent today, who
oh, yeah, it was today, yeah.
Yeah, who, to be fair, isn't at his most comfortable on clay and would probably take winning a round at Roland Garros as a decent enough result. But he gave a cracking quote in his press conference. He said, I played really well and was the better player at the beginning and then the warm-up ended. Which is my favourite quote from 2017 Roland Garros.
Yeah, that's a good
so
one.
So far, I
that
loved
is a
it.
Corker. Yeah. Yeah, that's a corker. Now, listen, I didn't get to see the Djokovic match. I read, and this fits perfectly with my idea of the narrative of Andre Agassi taking over the coaching reins of Novak Djokovic, that he was stepping in and taking the ball, almost half volleying it aggressively, Agassi style today, in a way that he perhaps hasn't done in his career, or he certainly hasn't done more recently. Any truth to that?
I'm going to have to front up here and say I didn't see loads of it. I really was trying to keep an eye on it. It was happening at a time when I was across about three or four different matches and I was having to do a lot of courtside stuff on Philippe Chatrier around the Nadal match, around the Muguruza match, which we'll talk about in a minute. So I wasn't able to watch it in as much depth as I wanted. Yes, the glances that I did have at what was happening tally with what you're saying. I also saw some glances of him, you know, looking a bit impetuous and looking a bit sort of distracted and doing a little bit of the stuff that we've seen Djokovic doing of late. But yes, I did see some Agassi-esque, obviously, particularly on the backhand play. And look, João Sousa, and Andy Murray has found this countless times in the past, is a good opponent for the likes of Novak Djokovic, which is a shame for Sousa because he's a very, very handy player, but he just provides you with such a nice, clean, even, rhythmic ball to hit, doesn't he? And that's right in the wheelhouse of a Novak Djokovic. It's a great matchup for him, and he took advantage of it today, largely to get into his stride a bit.
Yeah, no, I think there's some truth to that. Grigor Dimitrov, a winner over Tommy Robredo, straight sets. I'm telling you, I think this guy is looking the business. Let's say no more about it.
Well, can I just very quickly say I agree with you, and he was very, very impressive and looked to have a bit of a steely glare, steely gaze. I was impressed, and I think he could do something. That's as vague as I'd like to be.
Brilliant. That's my kind of
yeah,
vagueness.
That is a David Law-esque prediction right there.
Yeah. Brilliant. I'll have a look at his draw in a minute. You any idea who he plays in the next round? I know he's got in one of the next two matches, he's got a really tough one, has Dimitrov, and I can't remember who
talking,
it is.
Just keep talking, David.
But anyway,
I will be able to tell you momentarily.
Yeah, let's keep talking. Let's go on to Muguruza against Kontaveit, which was the match you're describing. It ended with Muguruza edging that one out after going a set behind against the very talented Estonian. And I was following some of the tweets. Hannah Wilkes, in particular, on Twitter, was loving that match and really talking about the high level of it, and Muguruza ended up coming back to win in three. I mean, she could end up fighting her way through and going all the way again. She's capable. We know it.
Yeah, and something really clicked into gear for her today. She started to really... I felt like something happened to her when she was a set in a breakdown, and she went, hang on a second, this is my stage, this is my trophy, this is my title, and I'm going to fight for it. You're going to have to wrestle it away from me. And that's what I was wanting to see from her in the pre-match press conference, kind of in the opening round against Schiavone. There were flashes of it, and she did play well, but I didn't see the fire in the belly, but I did see it today. I love Annette Kontaveit. I think she's the real deal, not necessarily a Grand Slam champion real deal, but I do think the sort of form we've seen from her on clay this season, she can sort of replicate year round. I don't see any reason why she can't. I like her very much. And she didn't lose that today. She made Muguruza raise her game, and it was a sensational match, particularly that second set. It really was utterly gripping, such high level. They were belting that ball out there, both of them. They were just going for it completely. They were just intensity at 100% at both ends of the court, and it was a treat to watch. It really was.
Yeah. Incidentally, just quickly, Dimitrov against Pablo Carreño Busta,
yeah, that's tough,
is next, which is why we were talking about that, because he's been in such good form, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, but I do think Dimitrov's winning that, I do. And I think I'm now struggling to remember what I predicted, and probably that's a bit of selective memory because safe to say it's not going for brilliantly for anyone, certainly not anyone on this podcast, but...
I was so relieved when Svetlana Kuznetsova won in three today.
I have predicted that Dimitrov will make the quarters, I think.
Have you?
I think, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I also predicted Tsonga would make the quarters, David, if that makes you feel better. But yeah, I was relieved that Kuznetsova won as well.
I tell you, mine have been dropping like flies. Tennis podcast listeners have been lining up to give me a hard time, I can tell you.
Not just me then, great.
No, definitely not just you. So... elsewhere today, we have had the revenge for Horacio Zaballos against Ivo Karlovic after that 22-20 victory for Karlovic at the Australian Open. Zaballos won in three straight sets today. Still in the women's draw, because I was talking about that a minute ago, wasn't I? Petra Kvitova is out. Obviously, the fairy tale comeback for her just to be out there at this tournament. She lost in two tiebreaks against Bethany Matic Sands. I doubt if she would be, you know, she'll take that one on the chin, I think.
It just, yeah.
You know, it's a work in progress.
I think people were getting a bit carried away, honestly, after the first round. Suddenly people were starting to talk about her winning the tournament. Look, she looked good, and that's as good a story as we need about Petra Kvitova at the moment. I don't want there to be any negatives. It was all good news, this tournament, from a Petra Kvitova perspective. It's just the fact that people so far raised the bar after that match for what counted is good news. And she did have a lot of chances, particularly in that first set tiebreak. And we were both tiebreaks, actually, against Bethy Mattek-Sands. And it's a bit of a shame, but in the bigger picture, it's irrelevant, almost. Pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Elsewhere, a very good win for the young American Cece Bellis over Kiki Bertens.
Is a very good win. Cece Bellis, still just 18 years old. We've been talking about her for a little while. She's been junior world number one. She got that win at the US Open a couple of years ago. She's still only 18. And that's a big win, because Kiki Bertens on clay is a top 10 player, at least, for sure, and a semi-finalist here last year. That's big for her. First, third round of a slam. It's all, yeah, that's cracking news for American tennis, her doing that.
Caroline Wozniacki, who isn't always that much at home on clay, beat somebody today, 6-love, 6-love, Françoise Abanda. That's just plain mean, isn't it? If you were 6-love, 5-love up against me, unlikely, but if you were, you wouldn't win that 12th game.
Do you know, I was sat in the media control room with my producers and cameraman, the whole team that I'm working with here at Eurosport on site, and I was checking all the scores and results that were happening at that moment, and I saw that Caroline Wozniacki was 6-love, 4-love, and I reported that to the team, and somebody who won't be named said, "Is it really sadistic that I want to put that on the monitor and watch the remaining games?" So we did. I watched the last two games of that, and poor Françoise Abanda, who, look, I can't judge on the basis of those two games. She's a 20-year-old Canadian player. Certainly, technique-wise and from her physique, looked to have the raw materials to be a very, very handy tennis player. But obviously, by the point that I tuned in, the ship had rather sailed, and she looked a very forlorn figure. And Wozniacki fist pumped at 6-love, 5-love, 15-love. She fist pumped winning a point in quite aggressive fashion. And look, that's what makes these guys champions and ruthless competitors. I can't knock it, but we did spare more than a little thought for poor Françoise Abanda at that point, and did look a pretty forlorn figure walking off the court.
Well, name drop alert here. Carlos Bernarda's the umpire fist pumped when he was 6-love, 5-love up against me. So
if Carlos Bernarda is listening, he will be delighted to hear that his name being mentioned on the podcast counts as a name drop.
I just sort of make a name drop alert no matter who I reference, just in case, you know. But anyway, yeah, I lost 6-love, 6-love. It wasn't very pleasant, I have to say, and I've never been the same since. Hence why Catherine beats me in our previous...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. So, is there any other business from Catherine?
I feel like we should probably mention Aliash Bedene. Not so much the match, although I will mention that he lost in four sets to Jiří Veselý. I think that's going to hurt a bit. He was completely outplayed for two sets, just completely bullied around the court. Jiří Veselý is a beast of a man. He's 6'6". He has this huge frame. He really is a bully on that tennis court, and everything was working for him. And Aliash Bedene looked... It was man against boy. It really was for a while, and then he suddenly started to find his rhythm a bit. Veselý was unable to maintain the hot streak, and he had a lot of chances to break in the fourth set. And I think had he done that, he would have taken it to five. It would probably have been called off for the night for bad light, and then it would have been anybody's game tomorrow. But the fact is, he lost. He went into press a very well attended press conference, given what he said after his last match against Ryan Harrison about we talked about it last night, didn't we, or was it two nights ago, who knows when it was, about how he'd said he wouldn't rule out playing for Slovenia the Olympics because of how much he'd wanted to play at the Olympics. And he tried to clarify that in his press conference. He said that when he said that he would see what could be done, which are the words that he used a couple of days ago. What he meant was, I would see what could be done specifically with Stephen Farrow. He mentioned tournament director of Queens, somebody that's been very supportive of Aliash Bedene's plight to play Davis Cup for Great Britain, and generally his sort of emotional plight through the whole thing. He and Leon Smith have been great, great supporters of his, to their great credit. But he said that that's what he was referring to when he said he would see what could be done. He was pressed on it further, of course, by the British press that don't miss a trick. Simon Briggs asked him more explicitly as a follow-up, so are you ruling out playing tennis for Slovenia in the future? And it wasn't unequivocal, but my take on it was that he wasn't absolutely ruling it out. He made very clear that his priority, his desperation, is to do so for Great Britain, and he would keep on fighting as long as there was a fight to fight. But if it became clear to him there was no fight to fight, he would look at other options. That was my interpretation, and just I'd say actually that was what he said. That was what he said. And just final thing to add on the matter is, we actually had Leon Smith speaking on Eurosport before the Aliash Bedene match. We were courtside for the warm up, and I asked him about the matter. I know he'd seen the reports of what Aliash had said after his last match. I asked him what his take on it was, and he said, in his very considered diplomatic way, which Leon always seems to have, he speaks very well. He said, look, I wasn't pleased to see those comments, but until he says them to my face, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. Look, he seemed annoyed, Leon Smith. Make no mistake about it. He seemed annoyed. He wasn't saying, oh, it's nothing, I'm fully backing Aliash, but he was giving him the benefit of the doubt until they'd had the chance to speak in person. So I'm sure that conversation is coming up at some point very soon. And yeah, I'm sure there'll be more to report on the issue at some point very soon. But that is what we know at the moment. And poor Aliash is now headed to the grass. He was also, incidentally, David asked why he wasn't wanting to play Queens, and he said he loves Queens, but it's actually his coach Nick Cavaday that advised him not to play Queens because he's played so dreadfully there last year. And he said Nick's done so much for him and been such a good influence that he would be loath to ignore him. So that's the explanation for why Aliash Bedene won't be playing at Queens this year.
I also know that Nick Cavaday had also added, and Aliash had gone along with it, that frankly And you may say, I might say this, given that I'm the media director of the tournament, but actually the field is so strong there that there are so many players that he could run into, and the chances of him making progress might be not that good. And so that's what they said they wanted to do. I mean, I'm still surprised, personally, given, you know, it's still a pretty strong draw in Halle. But
I gather that's why Victoria Azarenka, for example, has decided to play Mallorca rather than Birmingham, because she wants matches. She wants matches on the grass. She wants wins. And, you know, she's likely to draw someone pretty horrible if she were to play in Birmingham, because the draw there is so stacked. The field is so strong. So I get that. I don't dispute that that's a reason. I don't think it's the most brilliant PR move from Aliash Bednay, but I do believe that from a sort of tennis point of view, that is the genuine reasoning.
Yeah. Just a quick look ahead to tomorrow, Catherine. Day five. I do know what day it is. It's Thursday. And it is going to be Barbora. This is melodrama central, this match. Barbora Strzitzova against Elise Korner.
Can you imagine?
It might not be the headliner, but my goodness.
I hope the umpire has eaten a good sturdy meal tonight and maybe had a couple of G&Ts, whoever the umpire is for that one, because he or she is going to have their work cut out for them. Good luck to you, whoever you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy Murray, talking about aggro, Martin Kleesan, did you see the match he had the other day? He ended up not shaking hands with his opponent.
I certainly did.
So,
Lauren Lockley,
he's the next opponent of Andy Murray.
It was Kleesan that was trying to do the handshake, though, and Lauren Lockley that was refusing. He then got booed by his own crowd. There'd been, you know, about 4 hours of sledging preceding the handshake moment. I interviewed Martin Kleesan today, and he took a very diplomatic line on the whole thing, but he did say he was expecting a handshake from Andy Murray tomorrow, win or lose, and that would be a pleasant change from what he'd experienced so far at the French Open. But I do think, regardless of how Murray's been struggling, etc., etc., I do think Murray's going to come through that and potentially play Juan Martín Del Potro in round three. Del Potro plays Almagro tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have that.
We will have that.
So, Catherine, you will be there tomorrow again after your whatever it is, 5 hours sleep or whatever you get. I get about 4.5 the way things are going. Anything else you need to talk about before we start?
No, we'll be covering Andy Murray tomorrow. Of course, we'll be covering Kyle Edmund against Renzo Olivo. I think I'll be chatting to Mary Pierce at the top of the show. She's always great value. I'll be chatting to Patrick Mouratoglou later on in the day. He's good too. And then I'll be generally just running around and speaking to who knows who I'll be speaking to. There's a lot of sort of ad hoc production that goes on, but that makes it a joy and a privilege to cover. It really is. It's a great tournament. I seem to say that every time, but tennis, largely speaking, storylines wise, is in a very good place at the moment. And as I say that, I know we need to wrap up because every minute of sleep is precious, but I've just said the word storyline and I've realised that we've not mentioned Ons Jabeur, David, and we need to, because she is the first Arabic woman to ever reach the third round of a Grand Slam. She's from Tunisia. She beat Dominika Sibulkova today and she's great.
Yeah, she is indeed. We must talk about her some more tomorrow. If you can make room for me amongst this star A-list of mega star
I'll
tennis
try
people
and make
that,
room
that,
for you, David,
that, that
and I'll try and do
with.
It before the hour of 23:49, which is what it is now. That's what my iPad's just informed me. You know when you set your alarm?
Excellent.
I don't know, our standards are probably different, but you know when you set your alarm and it tells you how many hours and minutes from now you've set your alarm for. For me, if it starts with the number 6, I feel sad. And tomorrow, when I set my alarm in a matter of minutes, I think it's going to start with the number 5, and I'm going to feel very sad.
Mine starts with the number 4, Catherine.
I know,
so
but that's
know,
a good that's a good night for David Law. That's a terrible night for Catherine Whittaker.
That doesn't happen in the world of Catherine Whittaker, so it's an irrelevant.
I don't wake up
anyway,
the next morning if I sleep.
Have a good sleep,
alarm.
Catherine. Go and do television stuff tomorrow on Eurosport and all that. Thank you for listening, Tennis Podcast listeners. This has been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with Eurosport and The Telegraph. We hope you've enjoyed it. We could not do it, could we? Here we were, and here we are, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.